So over the next few times that we'd meet, I'd like to take up one of my favorite readings from the Sutra book. It is something I recite each morning, and we started reading a few years ago each morning after the opening ceremony and tea at Sesshin. There must be other translations of Daiyo Kokushi's On Zen, but we still use D.T. Suzuki's translation, which, except for the last line, is excellent. Daiyo Kokushi is the posthumous title and how he is currently known of the Zen monk and teacher Nanpo Jomyo. Throughout these talks, I'll call him Daiyo or Daiyo Kokushi. He, along with two other Japanese teachers, shaped what we call the Rinzai school. And he was born and died in the 13th century. And as we talk over the next couple times, I'll tell you a little bit more about him. So now, although most of you have Daiyo Kokushi On Zen memorized, let me recite it to you and then I'll look at it line by line. So it goes like this. There is a reality even prior to heaven and earth. Indeed, it has no form, much less a name. Eyes fail to see it. It has no voice for ears to detect. To call it mind or Buddha violates its nature, for it then becomes like a visionary flower in the air. It is not mind nor Buddha, absolutely quiet and yet illuminating in a mysterious way. It allows itself to be perceived only by the clear-eyed. It is Dharma, truly beyond form and sound. It is Tao, having nothing to do with words. Wishing to entice the blind, the Buddha has playfully let words escape his golden mouth. Heaven and earth are ever since filled with entangling briars. Oh, my good worthy friends gathered here, if you desire to listen to the thunderous voice of the Dharma, exhaust your words, empty your thoughts, for then you may come to recognize this. Actually, our book says you may come to recognize this one essence. So there is a reality even prior to heaven and earth. Indeed, it has no form, much less a name. There is something real. There is something that exists, something genuine and authentic, which are definitions of reality. And that reality is even prior to heaven and earth. It's prior to the moon and sun. It's even before the galaxies and cosmos. It might be easy to think, of course, emptiness is before. Emptiness is before heaven and earth. Emptiness is certainly before eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. And in emptiness, there is no form, no names, no sensation, no perception, and so on. But to think this, however, would be a grave mistake, because the Heart Sutra emphatically states that emptiness is form, and form emptiness. And this is one of the great mysteries of the Heart Sutra. In emptiness, there is no form, but emptiness is form. So that way of conceptualizing Dio's words is incorrect. He is pointing to something else. When we fully inhabit this which has no past, present, or future, when you fully embody what is no body, you present, you show, and you are before. You are prior to heaven and earth. You are before, prior to form and name, prior to constructs and dissociated ideas, thoughts, and feelings. The other day, someone said to me, "Well, if that's the case, then it's all just like memory. For even to say or think now is a tad late." And that is what the neuroscientists are finding, but that is not Zen. Zen doesn't posit a past, future, or present as distinct, separate realities that we aren't up to speed on. Zen is before, prior to, and so it includes. It includes all things as present right here, now. It includes the past. It includes the unknown as of yet. It includes, so I missed that, wait 1 second here. It includes the past. And it includes the unknown as of yet, unfulfilled, unfolding future. And it includes the now, which it has already passed a nanosecond ago. It is before heaven and earth, and so includes them. It is before form and name, and so includes them. And because this authentic, genuine reality, which is Zen, is prior to heaven and earth, there is nothing that it does not include, sentient or insentient, born or not yet born, near or far away, visible or not visible. And still, it has no form, much less a name. Next, Dio says, "Eyes fail to see it. It has no voice for ears to detect. To call it mind or Buddha violates its nature, for it then becomes like a visionary flower in the air." One day, as Bao Fu and Chong Qing wandered in the mountains, Bao Fu raised his hand and pointed, saying, "Right here is the summit of the Peak of Wonder." "Indeed it is," said Chong Qing. "But what a pity. What a pity. It is like when your Zazen is doing you. There is no inside or outside, no past or future, no coming and going. And you whisper then to yourself, 'Wow, this is the Peak of Wonder,' or some such unnecessary and needless comment. And poof, it's gone. When you see it, when you give voice to it, when you direct yourself, something, the reality prior to, is lost. You drop back into knowing. You fall back into separating, into not fully participating in the unknowable unfolding. And in that case, you miss the broad intelligence of the mountains and rivers, the intelligence of the stones and rocks and of the animals, fish, birds, and insects. For a little while, or even for a moment or two, let the world say you. Let it give you shape. Let it present you in ways not yet seen or detected. When you call it Mount Spokane or Mount Rainier, you not only miss what those before us saw and called it, we miss all that it is. Sung Song said in the verse of the Faith Mine, the more words and thoughts, the less they fit reality. So there is no need for chat, chat, chat. But some may wonder, so what am I to do? Because my mind does seemingly nothing more than that, especially as I sit here staring at the wall. My mind just keeps throwing up narrations, keeps throwing up stories. It keeps saying what reality is. No matter how I hold myself, the mind seems to go on and on. So what am I to do? Eiken Roshi said the stomach secretes pepsin and the brain thoughts. For some more, for others less. And all you can do and all you need to do is keep dropping, dropping into your belly, dropping into your gut. Keep dropping into the center. It doesn't matter to the mountain whether it is blowing or still. It just rests in itself. It rests in reality. The mountain isn't concerned with conditions. And right now, you need not bother yourself either. Just return. Return 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. And no matter what thoughts or how many, stay. Not rejecting the wind, but not indulging it either. Simply returning. Trusting the process and stay. Stay here, for there is no other place. Stay now, for there is no other time. Daiyo Kokushi wrote to call it mind or Buddha. Violates its nature. He isn't saying, at least not yet, that there isn't mind or Buddha. But when we call it that, we make it into something which it isn't. For it isn't something, but also it isn't nothing. Our labeling, our branding, doesn't hinder or dull that which is prior to, but it does dull and limit you. It limits and narrows your own possibilities. So don't let your mind become a flower in the air, pushed and pulled, tumbled and trundled by the slightest breezes. or shifts in temperature. Simply stay right here. Trust the process, trust your practice, and trust this unfolding moment, this unfolding of your own heart, mind, and body. So I'm going to stop there, and next time we'll look at the next stanza or verse or paragraph. I'm not sure why it's broken into three verses. I'm not sure even if D.T. Suzuki did that in his book or not. But for some reason, we did that in our sutra book when we put this in the sutra book 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. So maybe it was simply so that I could give three different distinct talks, but maybe it had a better reason than that. I'm not remembering. So if you have any questions or comments, I'll certainly give it a go.